Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. Happy Thursday to you all. Let's catch you up on everything you missed around the barn. Auburn's linebackers have got plenty of attention, and potentially it's the best group on this defense, and I think it's the best linebacking room potentially in the country, but there may be another room ready to challenge them. On the Top Button podcast, Kyle explained why the versatility of Auburn at safety could make the group incredibly valuable for DJ Durkin this season.
Of the team next year. And one reason in particular is positional flexibility. And this is something that Tim Banks talked about yesterday, because I think people were asking, like, who's going to play where? And I don't believe that this was just coach speak. I don't believe that this was just a running interference, because you don't want to tip your hand on who's playing where. He said, whether you're talking star, field safety, boundary safety, all those guys are interchangeable at this point. In other words, I can't give you the first three out there at the two safety spots and at nickel, because literally any of them could play any of the positions that we just listed. With all the tempo teams that you'll see, you'll need guys that'll be able to play any of those spots. You don't want to be pigeonholed in a, he's only that. So the more you can do, the better it is. So we're force feeding guys at this point. Another thing that positional flexibility does is it kind of almost doubles your depth if you think about it. You know, you think about a traditional two deep where it's like, okay, who's my 1A and who's my number one at nickel, and then who's my number two? And that's two guys. And then who's my number one at, you know, field safety and my number two? Who's my number one at boundary safety and my number two? Well, when those guys can also play the other positions, it takes a two deep into really a three deep, just like that, with the same amount of guys, which I think is invaluable. Because, again, you're not pigeonholing anybody. So when you got two guys locked into only boundary safety and they can't do anything else, well, what happens if, you know, both of them go down? You know, who steps in then when, you know, your nickel could jump back there when the first guy goes down, or for whatever situation or whatever defense you're facing calls for it, you know, your nickel guy could jump back at boundary safety, and it's better than just having, you know, a pigeonhole of this guy is and that's all that he is.
Hey, look, and I think that's what makes this safety room so intriguing, right? It's not necessarily about having three guys who's clearly locked in the three positions. It's almost the opposite. You've got players like Eric Winters, Champ Anthony, Caleb Harris, and others who can potentially move around depending on what Auburn needs that week. And the SEC, it's incredibly valuable if you can have that inside the conference. One week you're facing a team that wants to spread you out and play fast. The next week somebody wants to get physical and run the football. Well, if Tim Banks and DJ Durkin can change how they deploy these guys without constantly changing personnel, then Auburn becomes much harder to attack. You basically have two SEC defensive coordinators thinking about this decision. Tim Banks was a defensive coordinator for a very long time at Tennessee. So we've talked all offseason how good this linebacker room can be, but I don't think we need to sleep on these safeties. No way. Absolutely no way at all, because the combination of talent, depth, versatility could quietly make them into one of the biggest strengths on Auburn's entire roster. I don't know if you're going to like this one, because I certainly didn't, but Josh Pate ranked Byron Brown as only the ninth best quarterback in the SEC entering the season. On Village Vice, the guys found an interesting reason why that ranking might be actually good news for Auburn when you start comparing Brown to the quarterbacks Auburn faces in its most winnable SEC games.
So where does he have to, like, at the end of the year? This is the preseason list. For Auburn to win 8-9, where does he have to be instead of number 9 on the list?
So the beauty in all of this is when you look at the toss-up games on Auburn's schedule, Auburn's quarterback, according to this, is better than them. So, like, let's go through the toss-up games on the schedule.
What a smart way to look at this. What a great perspective. Yeah.
Florida.
Yep. Brown has the advantage.
Who does he – where does he have Florida – does he just have Florida quarterback, or did he pick one of them?
He didn't have one. He's just got a top 10.
Okay. Who was 10?
Austin Simmons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. So, the first toss-up game is Florida and, you know, Baylor, but
yeah,
obviously not applicable here. It is worth noting that I saw that somebody pulled up Pate's quarterback rankings from last year, and he had DJ Lagway 1.
Well, and he – so – again, to his credit, at the top of their graphic, it is the DJ Lagway Memorial preseason QB.
Right? Oh, he's leaning into it. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's clever. Yeah, it's clever.
Way
it's,
to go.
Yeah, right.
I like him a lot. He's great. Okay, so
people love that.
Okay, yeah. So the first one is Byram is ranked higher than Florida's QB.
Yep.
There's no Curtis on there for Vandy.
Nope.
There's no Tennessee QB there.
Nope.
There's no Arkansas QB there.
Correct.
There's no Mississippi State QB there.
Correct.
If you win all of those and you win your non-conference, that's 7 or 8.
That's a good point. That's a good point. 1, 2, 3, 4. There are only 4 quarterbacks on this list higher than Byram that Auburn will play this year.
Right.
Yeah.
So Trinidad, which we know.
Right.
Gunner.
Stockton, Levitt, and the Alabama quarterback.
Right.
Hmm.
So with all the talk about the brutal schedule, like, it's tough. But I think a lot of people are saying that because you got to go 2 Bama and 2 Georgia.
Yeah,
it's like most people don't have to do that.
It's tough in the sense that an SEC schedule is always tough. Like, I am to tough schedule as you are to August heat during practice.
It's hot.
Like, it's just,
the schedule's going to be tough.
Always.
And that's a really interesting way to look at Auburn's schedule. Forget what Byram should be 9th. Forget that they're putting in 9th or 5th or somewhere else. Look at the individual matchups and several of these games that could ultimately decide whether Auburn wins 7 or pushes towards 8 or 9 or even more. Payton's own rankings suggest Auburn has the advantage at the most important position on the field. And that matters. It's not interesting. That's important because Auburn doesn't have to beat every elite team on the schedule to have a successful first year under Alex Golish. Now, will they compete in almost every game? I think so. I absolutely do think so. Take care of those non-conference games. I think they'll be fine there. Win the SEC games where you have the quarterback advantage all the way leading up to Georgia's game, I think you do. All the way to your first 5 games of the season, you absolutely do. Then steal one somewhere else against one of those teams above you. Suddenly 8 or 9 wins doesn't sound nearly as crazy as one might think. And that's why so much of Auburn's ceiling comes back to Byron Brown. If he is good as Auburn believes he is, the schedule starts looking a little different. And finally, at our first real glimpse of Auburn offense going head-to-head with DJ Durkin's defense, Byron Brown didn't waste much time making a statement. During a surprise 1-versus-1 period at practice, Brown connected with Jeremiah Koger on a 70-yard touchdown. Afternoon Delight discusses it on our members-only podcast here at the Barn.
So the first play, I believe the sequence I got is right. The first play was a little run off tackle, probably 2 or 3 yards, nothing big. And then
Jeremiah
Cobb. And then the second play, they were going to throw like a slant to Keyshawn, and it's a great throw, but he missed it. He just dropped it. Like, it was coming in hot.
Yeah.
And he dropped it. So everybody's like, but then Ben. Byram goes up top to Koger.
Then we went deep
for about a 70-yard bomb. And it was a beautiful pass. And I was on the sideline, so it was like when he caught it, if there's ever film of this, I don't know if there will be because everybody had to put their cameras down. If there's ever film on it, I could have made the play. Like, I was right there. Like, I could have broken that pass up if I really wanted to. It was like right at me. Yeah, he caught it. Beautiful play. It was perfect throw. Like, you couldn't have – there's no defense for that throw. And yeah, he broke the tackle and went 70 yards to the house. Oh. And good protection, good really everything. You know, everybody questions his arm motion, his accuracy, like all this – the offensive line being able to protect. Check all those boxes in that one play.
And I'm sure it all went kind of fast too, because I mean, it, like you said, I mean, that's the third play that happened. So,
I mean, there was pandemonium after that, and I kind of lost focus because we're being kind of ushered off the sidelines. Like, it was impromptu, so there was no plan for it. So they were trying to usher us off the sidelines and like into the end zone, so that we wouldn't be, I guess, like right in the huddle. Cause I mean, I was like, I wasn't trying to be there. Like, I was I was watching the linebackers, and then all of a sudden, you know, Gulish comes in and says, defense on the sideline, offense on the sideline. And I kind of got caught up in the wash right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty electric. The music goes blaring, and it was Enter Sandman.
And that's exactly the type of play you wanted to hear coming out of Auburn's fall camp, because think about everything else that had to go right. The offensive line had to protect long enough for the play to develop. Big question marks around the offensive line this fall camp. Social media loves talking about that Auburn offensive line. Byron Brown had to deliver an accurate deep ball. Jeremiah Koger had to finish it. And they did it against a defense that has been getting a ton of hype. One play doesn't suddenly answer every question about this Auburn offense. But after hearing throughout the spring about how much this defense was controlling things, seeing the offense hit a 70-yard touchdown against one feels significant, especially for Brown. Feels really good for Byron Brown here. We've heard the questions about his throwing motion, and we've heard questions about whether his production at South Florida translates to the SEC. There you go. Can we check those boxes now? That's one rep, sure, but everything has translated just fine. And judging by the reaction at practice, Auburn's offense needed that one for sure. Well, Auburn and Alabama fans spent the part of their week arguing about which school took the better team photos. Yeah, seriously, they did. And on the Barn Social Hour yesterday, Graham and Hunter explained that something this ridiculous actually proves what makes the Iron Bowl rivalry. It's completely different compared to everything in college sports.
I think it's awesome. I think it shows, you know, one, how special college sports are. I think it shows that, you know, there's always been a heated, you know, rivalry between these two fan bases, you know, and it doesn't matter. It's gone from arguing about a tree to arguing about photos. Like, literally any small minor, you know, issue, Auburn and Alabama fans are going to take it and run against each other with it. And I think it is electric. I feel like you don't see that in many other fan bases across the board. You know, I look at Duke and UNC, and maybe they, you know, they have that with basketball, but that's about it. That's all I got. When it comes to Auburn and Alabama, it's every sport. It's on site with every sport. It's, you know, it's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's softball, it's women's soccer, it's, you know, swimming, it's gymnastics, it's, you know, every single sport that we have, it's on site when you're playing against Bama. And everyone doesn't like Bama, you know, if you're an Auburn player, or if you're a Bama player, right? No Auburn. And that's just like what it's got to be. That's what you're taught. That's what, you know, it's just what it is. And I feel like it's not like that with other schools and across the board in sports. Obviously, you know, you have Michigan, Ohio State, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but like, you know, I'm not a big Ten fan, but from what I've seen, it's really serious in football, but I don't see it bleed much over into other sports. I'm sure it's there some, but I feel like to the level and extent that the Auburn Alabama rivalry is, it's not there. And even look like just a couple, 2 years ago with the, you know, Auburn Alabama basketball game, when Auburn went into Tuscaloosa as the number one team in the country, with Alabama being the number two team in the country.
Crazy. Still crazy that was a thing.
And like, just like the whole fan bases, or both fan bases around that game, is honestly one of the height of the, you know, peaks of, you know, this rivalry for me, just because I got to, like, you know, really see it in person.
It's why it's one of the best rivalries, if not the best, in college football. And we're talking about a team picture getting millions of views because Auburn fans think theirs look a lot better than Alabama's. And it's absurd. And it's perfect at the exact same time, because Auburn, Alabama, and has never been limited to what happens during the Iron Bowl, because, you know, basketball matters, baseball matters, gymnastics matter. Apparently picture day matters as well. You live around these people, you work with them, you went to school with them. They're probably sitting across from you at a Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe, I don't know. Do you invite Alabama fans to your Thanksgiving dinner? That one might've went a little too far on that. Either way, that's what separates this rivalry for me. Ohio State, Michigan, it's incredible. You know, there's plenty of great rivalries across sports, but there's something different about the two fan bases occupying the same state and looking for absolutely any opportunity to claim superior over the other. And Auburn just won Picture Day, and somehow Alabama fans are having to hear about it. College sports are ridiculous sometimes, and I absolutely love it. That is why they are so great. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you so much for stopping by. Thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Coffee and Cornbread.